Good morning. It's good to connect with you today on this Wednesday morning for our midweek devotionals from Wiley and McClave, United Methodist Churches. Today we'll follow the pattern of devotion that we typically do here in the middle of the week, where we'll open in prayer, read a scripture, reflect on that, and then close in prayer. So I invite you to take a moment to pray with me. Our opening prayer comes from the Book of Common Prayer. So let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the Son of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our scripture today comes out of the Gospel of John in chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. So I invite you to hear these words from John's Gospel. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God descending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This scripture out of John, this particular passage, has always struck me differently. And parts of it hit me harder than others. It's actually the interaction between Nathanael and Philip that always gets me, always kinds of hits me in the gut. And I'll read it here for you. It's in the verse 46, where we have, you know, Philip has been sharing a little bit about Jesus to Nathanael. And Nathanael has this response, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That question always hits me in a way that I feel is very personal. And it may seem like an odd scripture to focus on. And I think it's because I think about, you know, my shortcomings or perceived shortcomings, you know, where I'm from, you know, what I do, all the things that make up who I am. And one of those things that unfortunately at times has kind of been poked at or pointed out is, you know, I grew up in a rural area and I serve in a rural area. And for some people in our world, that's a place that, you know, is kind of a no man's land. It's a place people don't want to be, don't want to be from, don't want to go to. That's always felt, you know, odd to me. One, I love being where I live, and I've had the opportunity to live in other places and known cities, and, you know, it was fine. It was fine being there, and I enjoy being here. But we have this moment, this accusation coming from, you know, Nathanael about Jesus, like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And I think of moments when folks have said, well, can anything good come out of, you know, rural Kansas? You know, can anything good come out of, you know, where, you know, XYZ, you know, fill in the blank, you know, wherever somebody may be from. And you have Philip then, you know, make a case, and doesn't make a big case. He just says, "Come and see." Now, Philip says that to Nathanael. And then we find Eventually, that Nathanael comes around and recognizes how Jesus is indeed the Messiah, that indeed something good can come out of Nazareth, and you have this recognition of Christ as the Messiah here at the beginning of John's Gospel. But I think about that question that Nathanael asked, and I think about all the things that I could come up with that may be perceived as disqualifying, things that may be discounted. But what's important, though, is certainly we could all make a list of things that we're either not proud of, or we've been bullied about, we've been made fun of, we've been discounted for. We can list all that. We can spend, you know, all morning and all day, all week, I mean, long time, listing all those things. But none of those things really matter in the long run. What matters is how we are followers of Christ. What matters is recognizing the Messiah, being connected with Christ, being grounded in that hope. That's what really matters. And what matters also is how God sees us. God does not look at any one of us, and find ways to discount us, find ways to, make us feel less than. You know, Christ gave himself. You know, Christ made, you know, that sacrifice, you know, gave himself to free us from anything that could keep us separated from God. Christ gave of himself because he saw that we had worth, we had value, that we are not discounted. Gave himself so we could have life and have life to the fullest. So what I'm getting at this morning is if you are ever having a moment in which you are feeling discounted, in which you are feeling less than, in which you are feeling that people don't care about you because of X, Y, Z, or just because, remember two things. One, Jesus gets it. Jesus has been there. Jesus was discounted for where he was from and gets that struggle, gets that pain, gets that difficulty, that feeling. And two, whatever we think we're being discounted for, or whatever we've been told that we've been discounted for, or made less than because of that, does not matter. Because God sees us, God sees our value, and Christ sees us and sees our value. And Christ sees our value so much that he gave himself for us so we could have life. So don't ever feel that you are unworthy, or you are unloved, or you do not have value, because you do have value. And believe me, I'm sharing this because I have to tell myself this all the time. I have to come back to Scripture and be reminded of how Christ loves me, how Christ values me, because I can struggle with being discounted, with struggle with feeling less than or feeling unworthy. But it is Christ who sees my worth. It is Christ who sees how I am loved, and God who sees me. I believe God sees all of us. God values us. Christ values us. And Christ calls us to a life and a hope that is everlasting. So let us hold on to that hope today and for all of our days. Amen. Well, this moment, I advise take a moment to be in silent prayer, and then I'll go through a pattern of prayer that we've been following to be in prayer together, and then we'll close in the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And may we pray the prayer that Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, go forth into your day knowing that you are loved, that you are seen a value, that you are have a great worth from Christ, from God, and from the Holy Spirit. Go forth knowing that Christ gave himself for you because you are loved so much. Go in this love and go in this connection and go in peace. Amen.